Good morning and happy new year. We're on the first day for the Biz News Daybreak of 2025. I'm Alec Hogg, and here's the context you need to win the day this Monday, the 5th of January. Well, the Rand is holding on to its recent gains against the US dollar, despite concerns over Pretoria's very quick out-of-the-blocks hostile reaction to the big news of the weekend, the US's capturing of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. A lot more on that story coming up. In the past month, though, the Rand has strengthened by 3% from over 17 Rand to the greenback, and it traded below 16 Rand 50 ahead of the weekend's news. Well, that trend reversed slightly early this morning. Rand now trading above 16.50. It's at the moment 16.53, but no falling out of bed. Well, not too much attention on that front anyway. Where there was attention, though, was on the risk on asset Bitcoin. That has been moving higher quite steadily in the last few days, and it picked up 2% overnight. It's trading this morning at $93,000. Bitcoin had been under some pressure recently that got down to as low as $85,000 in mid-December. The oil price, little changed, despite the hope that the stabilization or normalization, if you like, of the Venezuelan oil operations will bring more oil flooding into the global market. It appears as though there's a lot of work to be done before any of that occurs. The Brent crude this morning trading just over $60 a barrel. Well, as expected, the Maduro story dominates the news headlines this morning. Here's our partners at Bloomberg.
President Trump said the U.S. will need total access to Venezuela's crude oil in order to rebuild the country. Here is Trump speaking to reporters aboard Air Force One.
The country is a mess. It's been horribly run. The oil is just flowing at a very low level, much lower than, even if it was badly run, it should have more income, more oil than what they're doing. So we're going to have the big oil companies go in, and they're going to fix the infrastructure, and they're going to invest. We're not going to invest anything. We're going to just take care of the country. We're going to cherish the country. We're going to take care, more importantly, of the people, including Venezuelans that are living in our country that were forced to leave their country.
Trump also told reporters that he's no longer considering a second strike on Venezuela. And after Trump spoke, Delcy Rodriguez, Venezuela's acting president, said the U.S. and her country should work toward an agenda of cooperation. In Iran, protests continue as the country faces a deepening economic crisis. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said the grievances behind these deadly protests were justified, but he also vowed to crack down on rioters. Now, these demonstrations prompted President Trump to say the U.S. is ready to rescue Iranian protesters if they are attacked by authorities. We get some context from Bloomberg's Tyler Kendall.
Earlier this week, President Trump vowed next to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to strike Iran again if it rebuilds its nuclear program. Of course, international sanctions against Iran's nuclear ambitions have led to the widespread economic problems that are fueling these protests, from inflation to a currency that's rapidly depreciated, losing 60% of its value since the June war with Israel.
That is Bloomberg's Tyler Kendall. Elon Musk's AI chatbot Grok is facing threats of government action after it created sexualized images, including of minors, on the social media platform X. Authorities in Malaysia are investigating images produced by Grok, and they will summon representatives from X. And at the same time, India and France have expressed concern over Grok. India has ordered a review of the AI chatbot, and France is accusing Grok of generating clearly illegal sexual content.
Israel's Tel Aviv Stock Exchange will start working on a new trading schedule this week to appeal to more international investors. It's operated Sunday through Thursday for years, but shifting now to Monday through Friday. And China's Shanghai has pledged to improve its business environment by streamlining government services and providing more support for foreign investment and expansions. The city released an action plan on its website this morning. It also includes cracking down on misinformation about companies during big events like IPOs.
More details have started emerging on how the capture was achieved. Here is our partners again at Bloomberg with the very latest that has been released by the U.S. military.
We're learning more about how U.S. commandos snatched Nicolas Maduro from his home in Venezuela. More than 150 aircraft launched from 20 different bases to neutralize Venezuela's air defenses. Then an Army Delta Force unit moved in to capture Maduro and his wife at a military base in Caracas. President Trump and his national security team watched it all unfold from Mar-a-Lago as U.S. helicopters arrived and faced heavy gunfire.
He was trying to get into a safe place. You know, the safe place is all steel.
Trump says Maduro tried to get to a safe room. The entire operation took just 3 hours after months of planning. Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
This is not a friendly territory. So in order to arrest him, we had to ask the Department of War to become involved in this operation. The Department of War went in, they hit anything that was a threat to the agents that were going in to arrest him, and they hit anything that was a threat on the way out, and they hit anything that was a threat to them while they were on the ground. And that was a very limited and targeted operation.
Rubio on ABC's This Week. He says they didn't need to inform Congress because this was a law enforcement operation that happened to require military involvement, but was not an invasion or an occupation. No American lives were lost, but the New York Times reports at least 40 people were killed. Venezuela's Supreme Court has since granted acting presidential powers to Maduro's vice president, Delcy Rodriguez. China's foreign ministry has urged the U.S. to release Maduro, saying the raid on Venezuela violates international law. But social media users in China say it could be a template for handling tensions with Taiwan. The topic gained about 440 million views on China's Weibo last night. It's similar to X. President Trump says U.S. oil producers could spend billions now in Venezuela. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Kalegi.
During a press conference Saturday at Mar-a-Lago, Trump described an ambitious vision to use U.S. financial resources and industry know-how to restore the South American nation's oil sector to its former glory. That kind of oil industry reconstruction would almost be without precedent, and Trump left many crucial questions unanswered. Ed Kalegi, Bloomberg Radio.
OPEC Plus members just held their monthly meeting today on oil supply, and the group announced it plans to stick with its first quarter production pause despite ongoing tensions between Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Members say it's still too early to assess the impact of the shock of the U.S.'s capture of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela.
Locally, it's been quite a lengthy break for most people in the business community. Things start getting back to normal again this morning. But there were a couple of announcements from the past week that are worth mentioning. First of these, Orion Minerals, not least because this is a stock in the BizNews portfolio, and that's both in the Shift portfolio and in the Ricardo portfolio, where we purchase stocks every month. Orion's share price has improved from 21 cents to 23 cents. And in the past month is up by 15%. And this on the strength of news that its landmark $200 million, or perhaps as much as $250 million financing package with Glencore remains firmly on course. The company released a statement last week in its year-end update saying that the recent delay in finalizing the agreements was due to the holiday season rather than any deal friction. The financing, coupled with a concentrate offtake agreement, is critical for restarting Orion's Prieska copper zinc mine in the Northern Cape. That's its flagship operation. Managing Director Tony Lennox assured shareholders in the statement that documentation is progressing and that a definitive market update is expected early this new year. There's also been news of a major strategic pivot for Jubilee Metals. The company announced that it has officially completed the sale of its South African chrome and PGM operations to OneChrome. With the deal closed, Jubilee expects a $10 million cash injection within days. This marks a new era for the company, which is now solely focused on its Zambian copper business. CEO Leon Kutzer thanked the South African team and says he aims to replicate their chrome success in the copper sector. While on the international front, Financial Times columnist Gillian Tett predicted last year that Magnificent Seven tech stocks were not going to fall, but also that they wouldn't ride much higher in 2025. Well, what happened was somewhat different. Alphabet surged 60%. Again, members of our Biz News portfolio delighted at that news. But Amazon, on the other hand, was rather pedestrian. And Gillian now says that this performance in the past year by the Mag 7s sets tech companies up for diverging paths in 2026. The era of an artificial intelligence tide lifting all boats, she says, seems to be drawing to an end. Here's the FT's expert. She spoke with the FT News briefing host, Sonia Hudson.
2026 is going to be shaped by a tension between the fact that on the one hand, AI is a genuinely transformational technology. And as a result, the companies which emerge as winners will really emerge as winners in the future. Just as we saw in the railway mania back 150 years ago, that there were some big winners that came out of that. There were also lots and lots of big losers, though, and it's worth stressing that some investors lost a lot of money as a result, and I suspect that'll play out again. But going forward in 2026, you know, we know on the one hand there is this revolution technology. We know on the other hand that some American companies are absolutely global leaders and reinforcing their market dominance as we speak. So that should propel stocks higher. However, there are a number of factors that could provide real risks.
What are some of those risks?
One is a potential rise in interest rates, because increasingly the AI capex is being funded by debt, not just free cash flow or anything else. Another potential risk is that there could be a political backlash against the AI companies, because although President Trump has been very supportive in his own policymaking, what you're starting to see is a national populist like Steve Bannon increasingly angry with what might be called the broligarchs, the elites who are shaping much of this discourse. But the third and biggest issue in my mind is whether we're going to see new technologies or new platforms or new approaches to AI emerge in a way that could leapfrog the current framework that the Magnificent Seven are betting on.
Is there anything that could get all of the Mag 7 stocks riding high again like they were in 2024? Or are we just kind of past that point and not able to return to it?
I think it's hard to see a synchronized rise in all of the tech stocks going forward because there is so much good news priced in. However, the thing that would really boost the tech stocks is if it becomes clear that non-tech companies are deploying AI and these new technological breakthroughs in a really meaningful way that's going to change the revenues. Because one of the striking things thus far is that, for the most part, we don't have a lot of evidence of ordinary companies making dramatic productivity and revenue gains on the back of their deployment of tech. Now, that may just be a time lag effect. The other things that would help would be if there was a sign that America's getting serious about creating an energy policy that would address the shortfalls of energy around data centers. Above all else, that means getting the transmission lines and the grid sorted out, not so much just the actual energy generation. But that's been very hard until now. So if Washington gets serious about forcing a dramatic upgrade in the energy grid capacity, I think, again, that could make an impact as well.
And now you have the edge. Well, for the full interviews and the details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. We've got lots on the site this morning to get you up to speed with where the world is today. I'm Alec Hogg. Thanks for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.